So we left off last week. We showed that according to the most of the Rishonim, and the Gemara Metzia says that Tachfa Kohen, Motzi Miyado, we call Tfisa, Riacha Shidol Nasafek, is not acceptable. So that is in fact what the Gemara means. That in fact is the conclusion of the Gemara, and that is the halacha. Notwithstanding the Gemara's in Masechus Ksubas that seem to contradict that. So we saw many, many different approaches to Rishonim how to get around those Gemara's. We saw Taizim and Rambans and Hushas, different approaches. Of course, in contrast, most of the Rishonim was a Shittas Rambam, where the Rambam concluded that either we misunderstood the Gemara Masechus Mamitziyan, or we don't possibly like the Gemara Mamitziyan based on other Gemara's. The Rambam Paskins Halacha that Tfisa Lachshon HaSafik does in fact work. That Tachfa Kohen Emotziyan Miyadu. So came along the Ramban at the very end of the Shia last week and said that no matter what you think about that sugya, about Tfisa, Liach, Shalot, HaSafek, even though all those Gemaras are talking about Safek and Metzias, we don't know what happened. We're not sure when the animal was born first. We're not sure which Adam to believe. Those are all Sfekas and Metzias. Says the Ramban, there is no difference whether the nature of the Safek is a Safek and Metzias, Safek in terms of facts, or Safek and Halacha. What would it then be if you had a Teku, you had a Shaila, an unresolved question in the Gemara? Ramban said we would treat it identical to a suffix, and we would say, according to the Rambam, maybe Tfisa would work, but most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. Tfisa, in fact, would not work. So one thing is clear, says the Rambam of Metziyat Davav, that even though the type of a suffix is a little bit conceptually different, but practically speaking, in terms of how Tfisa plays out, it's going to be identical. So notwithstanding the Ramban, there is a possibility, and other Rishonim will disagree with this, and in order to appreciate where the other Rishonim are coming from, which is really, really just about touching upon our Rana Maseches Kedushin, we're almost there. So we have to take a look at the Gemara in the 14th of the Maamar Kamos, very short Gemara. The Gemara in the 14th of the Maamar Kamos, and Baba Kamar Daf Yud Tesav Aleph. Bar Rav Ashi, Yei Shinu L'Tzraros L'Riya Nezek, O Ein Shinu L'Tzraros L'Riya Nezek. Just a little bit of a background. That the Mishnah tells us in the Sechah Bayom of Akama that there is a special halacha that when an animal damages, so if an animal damages and tramples on something directly, that's called regel. That's learned down from Sukkah, Vishilach, Hasbiro. That's one of the Avos Nezikin, and one would be chayv to pay the full damage. So if my animal goes into your backyard and tramples on your carrots, ruins your carrots, I have to pay the full amount. What if my animal doesn't trample on your property? Rather, it's walking on its way, and it kicks up some pebbles, and the pebbles shoot out and break something, break a dish of yours. So that's considered to be what we call nezek of tzroros, which literally means pebbles. That's nezek derech kocho, through the force of the animal, rather through the direct hitting of the animal. And the Mishnah says, you only pay chatzi nezek. How do you know that? So the Gemara says, that's hilchos gemirilo, which at least the Rashi interprets to mean it's a pure halacha mashum mesina. It means there's no mocha, there's no sauce, there's nothing. The Rambam seems to say that there is a source in the Torah Shemuch Safra, which is not sure what the source is, but the Rashi says it's just plain and simple Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So there's no question this is a Din Deraisa, no matter what the source is, it's clearly a Din Midaraisa, called Nezek Chatzi Nezek of Tzvaros. So Rav Ashi now raises a conceptual question about Nezek Chatzi Nezek of Tzvaros. What if you would do Tzvaros in an abnormal fashion? So rather than the animal walking normally and some of the pebbles kick up, what are the animals doing a dance? The animal's going crazy. The animal's kicking and jumping and stampeding, and it causes pebbles to shoot up, and then it damages something. So should we say that it goes down to a quarter nezek? Because usually the halacha is normal damage is full nezek, crazy damage is chatzi nezek. An animal gores, the animal bites or something, so it's chatzi nezek, short tam. So should we say that the model of the Torah of short tam basically says that whatever you think the damage should have been, cut it in half? So that, if that would be true, then by Tzroros, we would have said Tzroros is a half damage. Now, if it's done crazy ways, then it goes down to a quarter. Do we say, I've heard of such a thing. The Torah speaks about the Chatzos Kasp. The Torah speaks about Chatzin Nezek. The Torah doesn't speak about a quarter. No such entity called the Urviya Nezek. So Rav Ashi has a shy. It's not sure what the din is. Halacha Maaseh, what would the din be? An animal is walking on the way, and it starts going crazy, and in the process of going crazy, it shoots up pebbles. Pebbles break somebody's kalim. Would you pay a half? Would you pay a quarter? Rav Ashi is unresolved. So what do we do? How do we pass him? Tateku? So we don't know. The Gemara says we're not sure what to do. So if I would ask you, so what would you do if you were a Beis Din now, and this case would come to you, what would you do? So you could only make the person pay a quarter, because the rest we would have to say, go prove that one side of Rav Ashi's Ibaya is correct. Now, nobody can prove that's a Tateku. So we would have to pass that it's only a quarter. That's what I would have said. So we take a look at the 15th of the Maimon Kamos. So the Rush is bothered with the problem. The Rush in the 15th of the Maimon Kamos, of common perik beisim and beis. Miu tema, lama lo hevi hachter of ashi im yeshinu litzros leviyan ezek v'salcha b'teku. So the Rush is commenting on the riff. Well, he's looking at the riff, looking through the riffs in the beginning of the second paragraph of a comma, and he notices that there's no mention of that case. The riff just deletes it. Didn't happen. Just deleted it entirely from his final Piskei Halacha, which is problematic because the riff quotes everything that's relevant l'maisa. This is relevant l'maisa. It means if you don't have this text, if you don't have this Ibaya of Rav Ashi, so then you would probably pass in Chasi Nezek, like any other case. It's Rav Ashi, it's a Chiddush, then maybe it goes down to a quarter Nezek. And that's important l'halacha, because once Rav Ashi has an unresolved question, whether it goes down to a quarter Nezek, so then that's going to impact on the Pesach of Beis Din. So how could the Rif just leave out the Shiloh altogether? V'salcha b'teku. And in the end of the day, the Gemara concludes that's a teku, and the Rif deleted it. So for Efshar, so says the Rosh, he's guessing b'das Rif. Again, the Rif doesn't say anything. We're trying to remember Dayak why the Rif didn't say something. The Efshar says the Rosh. To suffer the Einaf Kusab Achbaya. Maybe the reason why the Rif left it out is because the Rif only paskins those things that are relevant lemaisa. We know the Rambam wrote on everything and everything, but the Rif only focuses on those parts, those shahs that are relevant lemaisa. So maybe the Rif's understanding was that this shah is not relevant lemaisa anyway. Why is this not relevant lemaisa? Mishum de lo matzino bebavel tzroros de biot avi mishuna kenosahu. Because the Gemara tells us in the end of the first Berakha Bava Kama that any time an animal does anything in an abnormal fashion, so that becomes part of the principle of shore of Keren. Keren means a horn, literally the goring, or any type of an abnormal type of damage. And that's what we call a knas. That's a penalty in the Torah. And generally speaking, knasos don't apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. The reason being, not a mitzvah l'baretz, but because you require the Yerim Smuchim. You require the Yerim of the special, authentic smicha, ish v'pish, and Moshe Rabbeinu, which in chutz laaretz we cannot confer. And therefore, for practical purposes, the Rif is sitting in Fez, he's sitting in Morocco, he's sitting in Spain, and he's paskin in Shailas, he's not going to paskin the Shaila, because the Shaila is an irrelevant Shaila, as man is there. We can never paskin the Shaila on a crazy animal stampeding around. So maybe that's why the Rif left it out. But the Rush is not comfortable with that yet, because there is still enough Gabina Lahaloch. It's still important for us to know the outcome of Rav Ashi Shaila. Why? Elin Kim Tafas, because of Tfisa. The Gemara tells us in the end of the first Berakha Bava Kama that even though we don't judge cases of knossos bismanazen in Bavel or even in Eretz Yisrael, but tfisa works. We mentioned this last week, that if the person who was damaged decides to take the law into his own hands and he grabs it, so tfisa is going to work. So now we have a shayla. He had the Rif sitting in a bais din in Morocco, and Reuven's animal went crazy and kicked up stones and damaged Shimon's property. And Shimon's very, very upset. Shimon goes out and he's toe-faced. Well, how much does Shimon have a right to be toe-faced? Does he have a right to be toe-faced? Chatzi Nezek. Or does he only have a right to be toe-faced? Revia Nezek, a quarter of a Nezek. So now Rav Ashi becomes relevant Lamaisa. So it's true that no Beis Din today is going to sit on the case and going to discuss, is Rav Ashi a quarter or a half? That's irrelevant today. So that part I understand. But to say that Rav Ashi's Ibaya is totally irrelevant, it's not true. It is relevant vis-a-vis Hilchus Tvisa. So the Rush is back to square one. So he was trying to defend why the Rif left out the Rav Ashi Shaila, and now he's backpedaling. Why did he leave it out? Tvisa is important. So the Rush continues. So he says, Elim kem tofas. V'chi tofas lo mafkirin minei adim mishalim chatzi nezek kevan she'olso b'teiku. V'hu muchsak hilchachein avkutz v'vayazu. He says, because if a person's going to be toe-faced, so says the Rush, no, we're going to let him take the toe-face up to a half. Why? Because if he's toe-faced, then he becomes the muhsuk. We're going to get to the question of that in a moment. But if he's toe-faced, he becomes the muhsuk. And now we have a shot. We don't know what the answer to Rav Ashi's question is, so we're going to let him be toe-faced up until a half. So therefore, the Rush is guessing, but that's a riff. Why bother bringing in Rav Ashi? It's irrelevant. If we're talking about Beis Din paskining the Shaila, should we be mechayev a quarter or a half? We're not paskining anything about this bismanazeh. It's only a kenas, so we're not touching this bismanazeh. If it's enough gemina visa tfisa, so who cares what Rav Ashi said? Who cares which side of Rav Ashi is right? We don't know who's right. We don't know which side is correct. So anyway, we're going to let him hold on to a half. So why bother bringing Rav Ashi confusing us? So says the Rush, ain't of kusur vayazu. The below tfisa lo daninan. Because without tfisa, we're not doing anything. V'chi tofas go v'chatzi nezek. And if he's tofas, anyway, we're going to let him keep a chatzi nezek, because it's a suffix anyway, and he becomes a muchsuk. So that was the Rosh's guess, Bedasarif. Says the Rosh, I don't think it's right. Why? Miutem, kevan desveke de dinahu. We don't know whether he's chayav to pay a quarter or a half, so it's a suffix. My mahanya tfisa. How could tfisa work on a half? Tfisa could only work on a quarter. Kevan lo ifshet habaya, since the shaila has not been resolved, uki mamona v'cheskes marei v'shaloka din tafas. The original owner is the muchzok, and now look for the punchline. V'dam yalehi deperakam debav metziya gabi suffik b'chor dimtok v'koy motziya miyado. So comes the Rosh and says that just as by suffix of Mitzias, of Tukfa Kohen, we say Tfisa doesn't work, you don't become the Muchsuk, the original fellow remains the Muchsuk. Cave in the Ainlo Elatina suffix, because you don't even know whether you're entitled to hold on to it anyway. Lomahanya Tfisa, Vechenir Das Vin Yitzhak Baltais, etc. And therefore, the Rosh says his whole Shtukul Torah, Vidas Arif, to explain that, well, it's a suffix anyway, therefore Tfisa is going to work, is incorrect. Because just as Tfisa doesn't work by Suffolk Mitzias, Tfisa doesn't work by Suffolk in Halacha as well. So the Rosh rejects the Pshat and the Rif. The Rosh rejected the Pshat and the Rif, but the Rif didn't reject the Pshat and the Rif. The Rif quite possibly did hold that way. Exactly what the Rosh wanted to say, but that's the Rif. That's what the later Achronim write, that what the Rosh was saying Pshat and the Rif, and then that pedal, that is precisely what the Rif held, that Tfisa would work. And you know why Tfisa would work? It's a Suffolk. Tafakai and Tfisa doesn't work. The answer is there's a difference between a suffix in Mitzias and a suffix in Halacha. In the case of a suffix in Mitzias, so then Tfisa is not efficient, not effective. In the case of a suffix in Halacha, then Tfisa is valid. So we have now discovered the Machlekes Rishonim, what we were looking for already from last week. This is all assuming that Tfisa generally does not work. This is against the Rambam. According to all the Rishonim, Tfisa and a Suffolk and Matzias does not work. Tukfakai and Matzia and Miyado. But, whereas the Ramban said that just as by a Suffolk and Matzias, Tfisa doesn't work, so too by Halacha, Tfisa doesn't work. The Rif is disagreeing. The Rif is saying, no, there's a big difference between a Suffolk and Matzias and a Suffolk and Halacha. So now that we've discovered what we're hoping is a shit, there's a riff. We have to be intellectually honest. There is no riff that says this. It's the Rosh's bia, why the riff left out the Bayan Bavagama. But we're going to take this, and we're going to go with this, and we're going to now present this machlek is the riff in the Ramban. What do you do when you have a suffix in halacha? Do the rules of tfisa apply, or do the rules of tfisa not apply? We have to ask ourselves, what's the shadow? What's the machlek is? Why should the riff differentiate between a suffix in Mitzias and a suffix in Halacha? What is it about a suffix in Mitzias that doesn't lend itself to Tfisa? What is it about a suffix in Halacha that does lend itself to Tfisa? So there was a sefer that was written, a very appropriate name of a sefer, and the name of the sefer was called Tukfei Kohen. That was the name of the sefer. It was written by the Shach. The Shach was a Kohen, and he wrote an entire sefer about this very topic, about Tfisa. That everything you ever wanted to know about Tfisa was actually written as part of a Din Torah. That was a very, very, very complicated Din Torah that he was sitting on. And part of the issues involved some of the principles of Tfisa. So he passed in a Shas, so he wrote a sefer. So he wrote a 100-page sefer, 200-page, 300-page sefer, all called Tukfei Kohen, about all the kolam of Tfisa. So in the sefer Tukfei Kohen, the Shach suggests the following biur Midas Arif. There's a throwback to what we spoke about last week. If you remember, when we were discussing the sugya originally of Tukfei Kohen, the question that all the Rishonim were bothered with, how could in Bav Metzia we paskin that Tukfei Kohen doesn't work, that we're Motzia Miyado, what do you do with that gemara about the treyu trey? Remember the situation where you had two Eidim are saying that so-and-so borrowed money, and the other two Eidim are saying they were psulim liedus. And what do you do? So the Gemara seemed to indicate that Tfisa would work. That's a Rashi. Tosfos learned that Tfisa would work. So the Rishonim asked Gaval, what's the difference? Why should Tfisa work? So one of the answers that Tosfos suggested was that in the case of the Treyu Trey, the Tofes has a Tainus Bari. He knows exactly what's going on. He comes with a straight face and says, I'm telling you, I lent that guy $100. I don't care what the other two set of Eidim are saying that the Eidim were psulim. I was there. I gave him the money. It's not a suffix for you. It's not a suffix for me. I have a Tainus Bari. Unlike the case of Tukfei Kohen, the Kohen is not saying that he knows for a fact that the Bechor is his. It wasn't even his bag. It was in the other guy's barn. He has no idea when the animal was born. He's hoping, he's guessing, maybe, could be that it's my bechor, but he doesn't really know. So Tosfos said that makes all the difference in the world. If he has a tainus bari, then tefisa works. If he doesn't have a tainus bari, then tefisa does work. And why is that? So we explained last week that the chisaron, according to Tosfos, of tefisa is that it's the wild, wild west. You have no right to be tefisa. So who are you? The Torah doesn't register tefisa. A 6'8" guy beats up a 5'2" guy and takes away his thing. Well, what is that? That doesn't mean anything in halacha. So comes to us and says, "B'medav amamurim that tefisa is just an outright act of gezela. That's if lafid varecha, you don't have a right to the thing. You yourself don't even know whether you're entitled to. So what are you beating the guy up? He's suffering. But if you claim that you know, Beis Din doesn't know. Beis Din in the dark. We have no idea what happened. But lafid varecha, you know that it's yours. So we can't look at you and say you're a gazlan. We can't say you're doing anything wrong because lafid varecha, you have a right to do what you're doing. So a tainus bari does make a difference according to one opinion. Tosfos comes to Shach and says that's where suffering in Metzias and suffering in halacha part ways. Comes to Shach and says by a suffering in Metzias, the case of the suffering bechor, the guy doesn't know that you have a right to be typhus. The guy has no clue what happened. So you can't walk into a guy's property, grab away his animal, and say, I've been to typhus, I'm typhus. That's a tefis with a tainus shema. But when there's a shayla in halacha, so Rav Ashi says, well, maybe it's a chatzi nezek, maybe it's a revi nezek. There's a real valid source to say it's a revi nezek. There's a real valid source to say it's a chatzi nezek. So the guy can come forward and say, I've been a bari. I'm telling you that I think the din is that it's a chatzi nezek. So lefi devarai, it's a chatzi nezek. And I'm not saying that maybe it's a chatzi nezek. I'm saying, I learned through the sugya, I'm telling you it's a chatzi nezek. So once you get advanced, a tainus bari, so then all the rules of the game change. So according to the Shach, it's not that it's halacha versus metzias per se. Halacha is just an example of a tainus bari. You can have tainus baris in metzias also, but you happen not to have it by suffik b'chor. So comes the Shach, the Dasa Rif, and says that the reason why Suffolk in Halacha changes everything is because a Suffolk in Halacha is automatically labeled as a Tainus Bar, because the guy's coming forward and saying, Barley, Kimli, it's Barley, that is the Halacha. So there was a Sefer that was written as a response to the Tachfik Kayin, a Sefer called the Kutras HaSfekis. We've quoted the Kutras HaSfekis in the past. Kutras HaSfekis was the Ktsois's brother. So he wrote an entire Sefer about Sfekis and Mabinus, and the entire Sefer was piece for piece commenting on the Shach's Tachfik Kayin. That's why very often the two are printed together. So in the Sefer Kutras HaSfekis, he comes up against the Shach, and he says he doesn't understand the Chlal. He says, that's a Tainus Bari. He says, Rav Ashi, who wrote the Gemara, had the final word of Tarshim HaPeh for the last 1,500 years, and Blight put a suffix. Here's a take-o. So this guy, you should pardon the expression, but this nincompoop, this guy in the 1800s, he never learned Bava Kama, never does that thing, but he heard that if he comes to the rabbi, he says, Rabbi, I think that after learning the Sugi Bava Kama with great depth, I came to the conclusion that I have a Tainus Bari, and the guy owes me Chatzi Nezek, not a Revi Nezek. So the Kutras HaSfekis says, for such Tainus Bari, who needs Tainus Shema? He says, Tainus Shema, what is that? He says, you can't even think of a worse Tainus Bari than that. So the Kutras HaSfekis doesn't understand where the Shach is going. He doesn't say, how can you label that as a Tainus Bari? So the Shach didn't say it in a vacuum. The Shach did not just all of a sudden on his own say, oh, by the way, a Suffolk and a Loch is a Tainus Bari, and that's a Pshat and the Rif. So the Shach said it based on the following. He had a raya for it. He had a raya from a sugya in Maseches Chulin. For some reason, I didn't put this part on the Mem Kamos. I forgot why. But we'll say it over outside. There is a Gemara in the end of Maseches Chulin where the Gemara is discussing the mitzvah of Zeroa and Lechaim and Kevah. There's a mitzvah when you shecht an animal, nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, even Mizbanazay, shecht an animal, so you're supposed to give part of the animal to the Kohen, the Zeroa, the arm, the Chayayim, the cheeks, and the Kevah part of the stomach goes to the Kohen. Most of us in Chutz Lorenz don't perform this mitzvah. The Machlek is in the Gemara. Machlek is in Rishonim, and we are knowing in Chutz Lorenz we generally don't perform this mitzvah. We hold that this is not obligated in Chutz Lorenz, but in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah is supposed to be performed. Whether it is or not is another story, but I've seen the mitzvah done a couple of times. The mitzvah of Zeroa and L'chayayim and the Keva. So the Torah says, so the Torah introduces the mitzvah by saying, if somebody in the nation shechts an animal, they have to give it to the Kohen. They have to give Zeroa Lechem and Keva to the Kohen. So the Gemara is a suffix in Maseches Chulin. What if it's a Levi who shechts an animal? So a Levi, I mean, he's part of Klal Yisrael, but on the other hand, Levim are almost like a separate entity. So maybe they're like an Am b'fnei Atzmam, like a Shev b'fnei Atzmam. So the Gemara's not sure. The Gemara is blight by a Sofek. We don't know. Is a Levi Chayev in Zerul Chayim Keva, or is a Levi not Chayev in Zerul Chayim Keva? It's a vital issue that the Gemara never concludes it. So what would the din be? So the Zerul Chayim Keva is not Issa v'het, there's no Kedusha to it, it's just Mamanus. So we would pass it about some Chayel of Raya. That's what the din in Shulchan Aruch is that of a Levi Shech, it's an animal, there's no need for him to give Zerul Chayim Keva, because let the Kohen prove that he's Mechuyev. It's a Sofek, we don't know, unresolved doubt. And therefore, the Levi be Sofek, Hamos of Chayel of Raya, he's allowed to hold on to the money, he's allowed to eat it himself, there's no Kedusha to it anyway. So comes the Rashba and says, and what would the din be if the Kohen grabs the Zerul Chayim and Keva? The Kohen is not interested in the Shekel Torah, the Levi, and Matzach Ve'el of Araya. So the Rashba quotes a possibility that maybe Tfisa would work. That if the Kohen is Tofes, maybe it would be acceptable. So the Rashba himself raises the question, how does that work? How does Tfisa work? Isn't that a Tfisa Liachar Shenol HaSofek? After all, we have a suffix. We don't know whether the Levi is chayav or not. So we pass it most of the chayav araya. So the Kohen goes and grabs it. So the Rashba entertains the possibility that the Kohen can keep it. Tfisa is going to work. So how does that work? How can that be? Tfisa doesn't work. Tfisa lachsos of it doesn't work. So the Shach in his Sefer Tukfa Kohen says, if you look at the Rashba, I'm going to tell you what the Rashba says. The answer to that dilemma, how does Tfisa work? The answer is very simple. It's not a suffix in Metzias. It's a suffix in Halacha. Exactly what I told you, that just as in the case of the Rif, the guy could come and say with a straight face, I know that you owe me Chatzin Nezek. The Kudus fake is screaming about, what do you know? Who are you? You're Amoritz, you don't know. But the Shach is saying, no, a guy has a right to say, Ich bin Barili, I have Kimli, I know that that's the Halacha, and therefore I'm Teufel for the Tainus Bari, and that works. So says the Shach, that's exactly what the Rashba said also, that the fellow could come forward and say that I know for a fact that you Levi are Chayev. Why I learned the sugya, I came to the conclusion that a Levi is Chayev, and therefore I have a Tainus Bari, and therefore my Tfisa is going to work, like Tyson said in Ksubas, Tfisa for a Tainus Bari works. So the Kudus HaSfeikis attacks this also, and he says, how you talking? The Gemara doesn't know. The Gemara says, it's like the Sofek. Safka Leila Rav, whether Levi is Chayev or not. We don't know what the din is. So you're going to be, you Mr. Cohen, you world-class Tavachal, you're going to be Machriya against the Abaraim. You're going to have a Tainus Bari, can't be. So what did the Rashba say? So what's pshat in the Rashba?
And that is even more unlikely to call it a Tainus Bari, because we call that, you know, Mamo Shinel told him, right? He doesn't have any right to...
Okay. That's a whole other story. Right, I have to choose to ever work.
It's less okay, likely okay, because
okay,
it's
okay, okay, okay. So comes the Kudus HaSfeikis and says, so what is the answer to the Rashba's dilemma? So talk, how does Tfisa work? If the Shach's pshat is not accepted, so what is the pshat? Why is this Tfisa different? So says the Kudus HaSfeikis, take a look at the Rashba. Look carefully at the Rashba. Which Rashba do you have to look at? It's not a Rashba in the Chedushia Rashba. It's not even a Rashba in the Torah Sabayis, where the Rashba wrote a whole Sefer in Halacha about different things related to Chulin. It's in the Sefer Mishmeres Sabayis. The Rashba wrote a Sefer Torah Sabayis, where all Kashra, Shechita, Bas Mechalim, etc. And then the Ra'or wrote a critique against the Torah Sabayis called the Sefer Bedek Abayis, fixing up the house, fixing up all the mistakes of the Rashba. So then there was an anonymous Sefer that was written afterwards called the Mishmeres Abayis to protect, to defend all the Rashba, but the author didn't sign his name. You know why he didn't sign his name? Because it was the Rashba himself. So then later in generations, they realized, that's a really good Sefer. By golly, that was the Rashba himself who wrote it. So the Sefer, Mishmeres Abayis, so the Rashba explains exactly what's going on. Says the Kudus HaSfeikis, take a look there and you'll see. So the Rashba says the reason why Tfisa works, not for the reason that the Shach gives. The reason why Tfisa works is as follows. The Rashba says, in the case of a Sufik Bechor, we don't even know whether this is a Bechor. We have a Sufik about the animal prop. We don't even know whether this is a Bechor altogether. In the case of the Matanos, we know this is a Matana. To use our brisket terrain, the Chavtz is a Matana. We know exactly what it is. It's a Zeroa, it's a Lechayayim, and it's a Keva. We have a Sofek, whether you as a Gavra or Mechuyev to give such a type of a Matana. So he says, that's a different kind of a Sofek. So again, we're not going to make you give the Matana. We're not going to take it away from you. But if the other fellow is Teufes, since it's Chawad and Hashem Matana, but there is Vadai, it's only a Sofek whether you as a Gavra have to give this Matana. So that's, the Chia Gavra Tfis is going to work. That's what the Rashba writes. So there are two kashas we have. Number one is a kasha and the Shach. Kasha is, how did the Shach not know the Rashba? So one could argue, you know, every Rashba, Mishmeres Abayis, you can hold the Shach the task for. The Shach himself quotes this Rashi in the Mishmeres Abayis 300 simanim earlier. In back in Uchaz Reuel Chaim and Keva, the Shach quotes it. Lala, he quotes the Rashba verbatim. What I just said, the Rashba said. He quotes it. And yet in the Sefer Tukva Kohen, somehow he says another pshat in the Rashba. So that's a little bit of a pella. How come the Shach is quoting and I don't say misquoting, but he's quoting not really what the Rashba himself said. But number two, do we really understand this Rashba? So what? So what kind of chiluk is that? At the end of the day, is a Levi Chayef to give Reuel Chaim and Keva? The answer is we don't know. Who cares, by nafka mina, whether the latest asofeg licked in the cheftza or the mere latest asofeg licked in the gavra? You know, we're so brisk. So as long as we can say gavra cheftza, we're home. We're comfortable. But it has to make sense. Let's just stop with some of that game. If that means, what's the smart mind? So what? At the end of the day, tachlis, the bottom line is, if I go to the kohen and if I go to Levi and say you have to give, he'll say I don't have to give. So by nafka mina, if you want to say it even a little bit more lomdish, who cares that? It's a physical entity, Reuel Chaim and Keva. It's not a cheftza, Reuel Chaim and Keva. The cheftza, Reuel Chaim and Keva means a matana l'kayin. The fact that this happens to be a stomach of an animal, what does that have to do with anything? This is not the Reuel Chaim and Keva kosa b'tayra. Because if you hold that Am comes to pata levim, a levi is not chayiv, this is nishkein, Reuel Chaim and Keva. So it's not that it is Reuel Chaim and Keva, we just have a technicality whether it's chayiv or not. A pidin, this is not called Reuel Chaim and Keva because there's no chayiv to give it. So at the end of the day, we're not quite sure what that Rashi meant. We know what he said. He said it. The Kurdish Sfek is 1,000% right. It says it pemoli in the Rashba, what he said. And it's a pel on the Shach, but we don't really understand what the Rashba said. So when all the dust settles, at least we have two possible Rishonim who may be saying that a Suffolk and Din is different than a Suffolk and Metzias. But we're very, very weary to say we have anybody who really, really said it, because the Rif never really said it. It was the Rosh's Pshat, the Dasa Rif, why the Rif deleted it, and then the Rosh attacked it. And now we have a Shach claiming that the Rashba said it, which Maaseh Rashba didn't really say it. So we haven't yet found the Rishon. We're still in the world of make-believe. We haven't dug up a Rishon who's saying it. We're guessing. We're calling it the Shittas HaRif, quasi-Shittas HaRashba. We're identifying this as a possibility in Rishonim, but we haven't found anyone to say it explicitly. And the Lomdus, the Bia that we're saying, it must be based on Titus Bari's story. But the Titus Bari is very, very difficult. As the Sfekus points out, that how can you call it Titus Bari? The guy really, at the end of the day, the guy's not Tamei Chacham. And even if he was, he's not as great a Tamei Chacham Rav Ashi was. And Rav Ashi didn't know how he was given Titus Bari. So we're really, really holding on for dear life to this beer, because we're not even sure which Rishon really said it explicitly. And we don't quite have a solid enough beer for ourselves that we're comfortable with yet. So that's the downside of the sugya. The good side of the sugya is that coming around the bend, we are going to hopefully come up with a beer that we're able to really, really understand. And it's going to be that pshat in the Shittas HaRif that we're going to hold on to for dear life in Rishon of the next year. That's finally going to get us back to that Ran. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel of the Ran. I think we may be able to make a siyum on the sugi by Friday. So hopefully we'll be able to connect all the dots. But just to appreciate to see that it took us a long, 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 long-winded way to get to where we have to get to, but we're almost there. So tomorrow there's no shiur, on Wednesday, we'll continue with this sugi.